Mum Tribe Podcast.
You are very welcome along to the Mum Tribe Podcast. I'm Ellen.
I'm Erica.
And we're going to go deep.
Balls deep. Yeah.
Or however deep that you want to go. We have to remember that not everyone is a male-female couple. There are...
Oh, yeah, actually.
There are plenty of parents who are same-sex couples and the rest of it as well. I know we're like...
Solo parents.
Yeah, solo parents as
Jesus,
well.
Jesus, never thought about that.
Mm.
Right.
There's plenty of listeners out there. But both of us are in hetero relationships, so we can only talk about what we know.
A ride.
What do you call it in Cork, actually?
A ride.
A ride.
Have a ride.
And what do you call, like, a French kiss?
It's just... Oh, a mall.
A mall.
Yeah, we were talking the other day. I don't know what we were talking about. And I said to you, I said that some child was saucy.
Yeah, saucy.
And
that's
like
woeful.
Saucy in Cork is bold.
Yeah, but like saucy everywhere else.
I don't know.
Like,
well, obviously it wasn't that. It was like the child was being bold. This is years ago. I said it to my friend who's from Liverpool, and she just looked at me like I had said something really bad. And I said, what is wrong with you? She said, don't ever say that again.
Yeah, about a child, like, a bit weird.
You'd say it, like, my mother would have said to me as a child, don't be so saucy.
Yeah, but like...
You're very saucy, Erica.
What works in Cork doesn't work necessarily everywhere
else. No, not at all. So yeah, we call having sex a ride, a really intense kiss, a maul. Like, he mauled you. It's actually disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a horrible word.
Yeah.
What else is there? What other kind of slang is there? Is this a universal thing? Like, if someone doesn't want to have sex, it's like you're frigid.
Frigid is fairly universal, I would have said, yeah.
What are the words up in a frigid Bridget?
Yeah.
One of my friends calls her vagina Mary.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is hilarious.
Actually, I can't remember who it was, so I won't say, but someone had that a while back about, it was the Get Out Mommy, about toilet training.
Oh, the words.
What do you call your bits?
Yeah, yeah.
Because like kids,
you
know, obviously if they're toilet training and they're saying to the play skill teacher or whatever, I need to go, or like my flower is sore or something like that. Like, what's wrong with the words? Like
flower?
I don't know. I was just trying to think of a weird word that someone.
So like I Callum asked me a few weeks ago. I was going to the bathroom, and like obviously in our house there's no there's no filter, like the doors are open.
Yeah.
I've given birth to this child, so he's seen me without my clothes on.
Mm.
I don't really care. He's seen his dad without his clothes on, and so now he started to realise. You know now, like if you jump out of the shower or whatever, he said to me, I had started to sit him on the toilet, and I was like, so you just point your willy down, and then you squeeze the wee out of your willy. Like this is, oh my God, I don't know how many times a day I say that. Just squeeze the wee out of your willy. Squeeze the wee out of your willy. And then he's like looking at me going, oh, not again. But I was sitting on the toilet and he's like, Mommy, where's your willy?
Oh.
And then he loves my boobs.
Okay.
He loves my boobs. He was never breastfed, but he just loves them.
Yeah.
I suppose it's like a comfort thing, like, you know,
squishy,
like cuddle him and stuff. And he was like, Mommy, what are they? And I said, that's my boobies. And he was like, where are my boobies?
Oh.
So then we had to have a little chat.
Yeah.
And I, like, with my parents, everything was just dead straight. Like, there was no special names for anything. Well, actually, my parents would be quite conservative, so they would have said, like, you know, your private parts or your bits. And I just don't want him to be like that. I'm a very open-minded person, and I want to be able to have frank conversations with him when he's older.
Mm.
So everything is just, the way you just say it, so is his penis, is his willy. And I said, oh, Mummy has a vagina.
Yeah.
And then I was like, so what do boys have? And he was like, a willy. And I said, yeah, and what do girls have? A gina.
Oh.
So he just can't pronounce it.
Yeah, or a lot of kids say China, I think.
Yeah, he's saying China now.
Yeah.
And that's grand. It doesn't bother me. My husband was fucking horrified. He was like, what? Why are you teaching the child that? And I was like, but like, we're trying to potty train him. He's going to be going to play school soon.
Yeah.
My husband was like, why are you talking about this? He's way too young. And I just thought, no, he's actually not. And
no, but you have to normalise.
I did actually say to him last week, probably because I know that there's going to be someone outside of his family now look after him when he goes to play school. And I said to him the other day, you know that it's only Mummy, Daddy, or Nana and Granda, or your auntie, or your cousins that can look at your willy and your bum. And he was like, why? And I said, well, right now he's still in nappies. I was like, because they're the only ones that clean you. And I said, you don't let anyone else touch that area or go near that area. Which kind of frightened me in a way, because I was like, I can't believe I have to have this conversation. At the same time, I remember when I was younger and I was like a total show off at home, and I was in like my vest and my knickers, and I was doing some kind of like ballet move in my kitchen. And I remember my mom saying to me, you know, Erica, you're going to have to stop doing that now because you're getting older. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And she was like, when you get older, you don't really go around in your underwear. Well, I still go around in my underwear at home. But like, yeah. Do you know, having that conversation with kids is just...
So Eric's only 2 and 2 months now, so he hasn't even started speaking that much that we've kind of introduced those words or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, he just doesn't have any questions, so I don't see the point. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's parenting rule book that you should maybe be open with the words from a really... But I've never seen... I've never had a reason to say vagina or penis.
See, this is it, though.
So
like, I didn't either, so I didn't bother ringing it up. Yeah. No, because he was kind of getting more... interested in his body full stop. That's when we started to tell him like that it was a willy that he had, you know, or whatever. But like saying that with the whole, you know, talking to kids about stuff like that, you don't really want to have those conversations with them, but you do. Like, do you know what I really want him to know is like the whole consent thing.
So we've introduced consent now, because before Eric goes to bed, we would have always said, give mommy a kiss. And he became a bit averse to it, so I was going, oh, give mommy a kiss, and then I don't
is
know
he
why
like he doesn't like to be touched. So no, really though, not in a bad way.
No, he's kind of like half and half between the two of us. When he doesn't want to be touched, he really doesn't want to be touched, but for the most part he's ridiculously cuddly.
Oh, that's lovely. I
love,
see, I am a very tactile person, and I just if you saw me out with my child now, there's two versions of me. There's the version where I'm like, stop it. Like, you know, the death voice. Or else there's the one where I'm just like hugging and kissing him.
Yeah. Ah, that's cute though. No, but so what I did was there was a couple of nights where I was like, and then I'd like attack him with a kiss. And then I just thought to myself, that's really not a good way to teach your child consent. And he's only 2 and 2 months, so maybe it's too young to start.
No, but I don't think it's ever too young.
So I stopped, and now I say, would you like to give mommy a kiss before he goes to bed? He takes out his dodie and gives me full-on smacker on the lips. So it's funny how a child who's that young, and there is a few nights where he said no, he doesn't want to, and he might just cuddle into Alan or whatever. But he really is starting to understand that it's his choice to do it or not. So before we would leave someone's house as well, I will say, so I call, probably stupidly again, put a baby name on something that doesn't need a baby name, but instead of saying, give everyone a hug, I'll say to him, do you want to give Auntie Eve a squadge, or do you want to give Granny a squadge, or whatever? And he seems to love the word squadge, because it's a really good descriptive onomatopoeic word, if you will. But he'll go off and give people his little squadges or whatever. But sometimes he says no. And I try to not make a big deal out of it. Now, there's a couple of people in his life that will want a hug, and that I may say to him, go on and give your uncle a hug, or whatever it might be, or it might be like more like granduncles or whatever. But for the most part, he does seem to, this early in his life, be getting that he shouldn't approach people unless, like, and I've noticed that with his cousins. So his cousins are quite hands-on, because they're brother and sister, so they'd be kind of in each other's face. But he does stand back and kind of, he'll wait to be invited into the play. And I just think that's quite nice,
that
and
is
quite
nice.
Respectful as a child. But I didn't think that he would get it that young, to be honest.
I totally get what you're saying. I also really dislike people kissing my child on his mouth.
I don't think people should do that anyway.
No,
so
the whole cold sore thing, ever since he was born, that whole, there was a big massive thing on social media when he was born.
I've never had a cold sore.
I got a cold sore from a dirty cup. I didn't get it from kissing anyone, because I used a day for years. I got it from a dirty cup at work. I remember the day, and I was like, why is my lip so itchy? And I felt disgusting. I felt so dirty. For someone now who really doesn't like germs or anything like that, I felt so dirty. And
I think the fact that cold sores are the herpes virus as well.
But when I had Callum, I was so run down and so unwell after having him. I got the biggest one I've ever gotten in my life. And I actually went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, technically, you aren't under, like, you know, you don't get the free healthcare thing, but because the cold sore is so big, I'm actually worried that he might get it. So I'm actually going to give you antiviral tablets. And I, honest to God, I was so happy. I was like, oh, you really do get it. Do you know? Because I was so worried.
You're going to give birth to that cold sore.
It was
well.
Fucking oh, huge. It was fucking huge. It was like a satsuma on my face. It was disgusting. But anyway, around that time, I was so conscious of herpes and stuff. Even his grandparents, if it, my mom tried to kiss him on the lips, I would like, stop it.
I don't understand. So I would never kiss Eric on the lips. It's, that's the thing that he started. He, because I think he's seen, myself and Alan would always give each other a kiss before we'd like leave in the morning time or whatever. And I think he's just seen that and he thinks that that's what people do. But it's funny because he doesn't approach anyone else. He actually doesn't even approach Alan that way because he's got a beard.
Yeah, yeah.
70% of the time.
Yeah.
So he doesn't like the idea of the prickly beard. Yeah. He's given him a kiss a couple of times. But mostly it's just me. I find it quite odd, to be honest. I'm not 100% comfortable with it. But then I'm like, if that's what the kid wants to do, then, you know, I'll let him off and let him.
See, I think, like, parents, I have no problem with him kissing me or Dave on the lips. It's grand. Like, you know, he's my child.
Yeah.
I gave birth to him. We've both made him, so it's not a big thing. But yeah, anyone else, I'm like, no. And I get really uncomfortable when someone wants to cuddle him and I can see him trying to get away from them and they continue to do it. That really irritates me.
As a human being, you shouldn't try and cuddle or tickle someone. Like, so my nephew's got a massive aversion to tickles.
Yeah.
And again, I was tickling him and he was saying no, no, no. I don't know. I must have seen something or something. I honestly can't remember why the consent bit came up. But I was like, no, I must stop doing that. Because if he doesn't trust that I will stop.
Yeah. Actually, I was tickling Callum the other day and he loves it. And he's the same laugh as me. Like, we go silent when we find something really, really funny. So he was just shaking and, like, laughing. But then when he could get a breath, he was like, stop, mommy. And I stopped straight away.
Yeah.
And then he was like, and then I went to pretend to go tickle him again. He was like, no, mommy, stop it.
Mm.
And I just said, oh, yeah. Like, you know, he really doesn't want it. So.
But it's those things that form the seed.
Of course.
Of, you know, the overall. I do think it's quite important. But yeah, I suppose consent as well comes into the old ride. We say ride in Dublin as well, I think.
Ride, yeah. There's loads of different things that you can call stuff. But
meet was always the French kissed. Kissed.
Meet.
Kissed.
Meet. Oh yeah, I met him.
Yeah.
We're meeting each other.
Or score. Score came in.
Scores.
When I was stopping the nightclub situation. And I remember going, I don't think I can, in all honesty, say scored that person.
Yeah, a score was kind of like it is a slang word in Cork. It would be used, but meet is the main one that's used.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, okay.
But yeah, consent is so important. And that first ride or the first intercourse or relations after childbirth. I would maybe historically have said especially after a vaginal birth, but I actually think your vagina's been stretched and your cervix and all the rest of it if you've had a vaginal birth, but actually even if you've had a C-section delivery, you've had people in your business.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very sensitive area.
Of course
all
it is.
Over. For any woman who's had a child, that first ride after the child.
Either
birth
one is
going to
be
important.
Daunting because, if you have a vaginal birth, then obviously that area is going to be sore or whatever. And if you've had to have, like, if you've torn or if you've had an episiotomy, you know, you've all those things that you have to think about.
Yeah.
But also, if you have had a C-section, when you think about it, when you actually think about what they do, they cut through your muscle, they cut through your abdomen, isn't it? Mm. And then they cut through
everything.
Into your womb to take the baby out. Like, that's incisions all throughout your body that have to heal. They're just healing in a different area.
And even
so
after surgery, generally.
Yeah, of course.
Like, oh,
of course.
Me, like.
Like, yeah, no. Anyway, look, you had a grand old experience, so you might as well go first because mine's going to take a while.
My experience was that grand that I don't really remember it, no disrespect to my husband.
Poor Alan.
But so we waited about 2.5-3 months maybe, which always I am in awe of people who have like 2 under 2 or whatever, 2 really close together where there's like less than 3 months
Irish twins.
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, they must have been happy. I hope that every woman was happy to, you know, make that second baby. But, like, you know, for the most part, I would presume that people were happy to go ahead and have the ride. But, yeah, I was not ready for quite some time. So, number one, I was breastfeeding, and I just felt like my boobs were, like, off limits to a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt like they were feeding tools now. They weren't fun bags.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they were before.
Fun bags, actually, yeah.
And I would be quite stimulated by touch to start with. So I do like to be warmed up beforehand. And I do have a very good partner, you know, in
life.
He's a good sexual partner as well, in that
he's taking
his time to learn what I like.
Yeah.
Probably more than maybe I've taken mine to learn what he likes, but he quite likes my pleasure is what he tells me. I'm a very selfish sexual partner.
Really?
That is what I will say.
Yeah, but then
I have
if
a
he
very
likes
giving
that,
husband.
Yeah,
so
if he likes that, then that's his thing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. He'll kill me for saying that. But anyway.
You're not going to listen to this, are you? God help my husband anyway.
No, he won't listen to the podcast, but it makes back to him somehow. Shh, don't tell him.
Okay.
Sorry,
Alan.
But so I don't know. He was very patient, and I felt bad, so I was like, "You've got blue balls now at this point." You know, I said that to him a couple of times. And I was like, you know, do what you need to do, or I can do something for you, or whatever we need to do. And he was like, no, it's grand, you know, we're all tired. And he's very patient and very understanding from that point of view.
Yeah.
It was around about the 3-4 month mark. I think it was close to the 3 month mark. And I was very nervous about what might feel different, whether everything would be okay, whether we'd burst the stitches. They were all healed over at that point. And then it was very kind of, I just found it weird, because my entire life I knew a certain set of hot spots and bits and pieces. They all moved position.
Yeah.
So we have then spent, I say we, but more like him. But me, I had to re-get to know my body and where all the hotspots are now are completely different than they were before. What I like is quite a bit different from what I liked before. Oh yeah, absolutely. And again, he's taken his time to kind of learn and know. Even
this
position
might be
wise.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask, it might be a very personal question now, but is it positions or is it?
Oh no, even touch and stuff like Yeah. Oh god, yeah, totally different. Totally different. I used to be kind of, I suppose, less sensitive than I am now. And
yeah, I get that.
We've really struggled with trying to figure out how to get past tickles, and the increased amount of sensitivity to like a really good point. So yeah, that's been really it's hard to explain. So I'm definitely way more sensitive than I was before, but not in a good way.
Yeah.
So not like, you know, ooh yeah, little fumble and we come kind of thing. Like, it's more, I'd need to definitely be hugely warmed up now at this point. And then some days I'm just randy AF and it's like bish bosh bam boom and we're done. So it's definitely cyclical, way more cycle based than I ever was before. So like 1 week of the month, it's like every night of the week, grand, not a bother. Another week of the month, don't come anywhere near me.
Every night of the week for 1 week?
Probably, yeah.
What the fuck?
I'm randy.
I'm not judging you. I just think that's amazing.
And then probably the 2 weeks in between, then it'd be hit and miss, depending on whether I've seen Captain America or not. No.
So on average, how many times did you do a week?
I'd say on average over the month, it's probably like 6 times a month.
Okay, yeah. All right, that evens it out.
Yeah, it does even it out. That's what I'm saying. There's like 1 week of the month.
Yeah.
Which is this week, where I'm like, get the fuck away from me.
Is that why you're like,
come
on,
fucking touch me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I the world. The world can fucking stay away from
me. But what way are you in your cycle then?
I'm probably due.
Yeah. I find the week before. Actually, no, I find the week before I'm like, come on.
I do, yeah. It depends.
Do you have anything that you track your cycle with?
I used to. And oh my then God. I just get knocked off this and I forget. Amazing app. Like, yeah.
Honestly, it just explains so much about my mood. It's called Maya, M-A-Y-A. Mm. It's free. Like, okay. You download it and you put in, like, obviously, you know, your period details and stuff like that. Then it'll give you things like, this is how you're going to feel today. Angry, irritated, romantic, fun. And then it will explain, like, what's actually going on in your body. I just...
Yeah.
Charlotte Jacqueline, I follow her on Instagram. I love everything that she does. I think her feed is always fantastic. Her stories are really interesting. And she genuinely posts things. She used to have a magazine.
Okay.
A printed magazine. Then she went online with it. And she was, you know, creating content for it on Instagram. And now she's just kind of brought it back to more about her. But I just... Yeah. You know, I actually posted up on my Instagram there a few days ago. I was like, you should treat your Instagram like... like a magazine that you want to read. Yeah, I find that. Her account is like that, and she posted up that app, and normally now if someone else did it, I'd be like, oh yeah, grand. But the way she explains things, I was like, I'll give it a go. And I actually sent her a message last night. I was like, since you've posted that, I downloaded it and I check it. Well, I actually get notifications every day and they are so spot on.
Mm. So yeah, so that's how it works for me. But I must track closer. But that is how it works for me. So the week before, stay away from me. The week after, Randy AF, and then the couple of weeks in between, around the point that I'm fertile, I'm always like, go for it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, quite quick to come and stuff like that. So but yeah, like I said, it's I just have a really understanding partner, so
yeah,
I'm lucky again in that sense. But then equally I chose him, so
yeah. Sorry, no, I get that.
But yeah, no, that first time was quite daunting. But the first time wasn't as daunting as the subsequent times. So when I realised that everything was different,
I
was
like,
just overwhelmed by it's never going to feel the same again.
Yeah.
And then I was asking him, does it feel the same on your end? And he was like...
And what were you like when you were pregnant? Yeah. Oh, Alan.
What was I like when I was pregnant? Yeah, we had a lot of sex when I was pregnant.
And
yeah.
I hated it.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
I got nothing out of it. I was so hypersensitive.
Yeah.
In every area of my
body. I was less sensitive while I was pregnant.
See, isn't
and then
that
I was
mad?
Super sensitive afterwards.
And yeah. I was opposite. I was like, oh, even the thought of it would make me feel nauseous. Like the week before I gave birth, you know the way they say, like, you know, have plenty of sex and the semen will soften your cervix and all this kind of stuff. We were doing it and the both of us were just like, oh, I just don't want to do this. It was I actually remember looking at him. I think it was like the day before I was brought into hospital or whatever, because the movements and stuff stopped. And I remember looking at him and both of us, we were just kind of going, oh, kind of face like, will this ever be fucking over? And I remember him saying to me, like,
does
anything happen with you? And I was like, no. I was like, you have to think of something else, because like, I just get the fuck off me, hurry up, will you just come on? And he was like, I can't now. And then we ended up like trying to do it again, and it was just, it was impossible. It was absolutely fucking impossible. And when we eventually did it again that day and he came, I was like, that was the longest fucking ride we've ever had in our life, and it wasn't even a good one. And I remember him saying to me, he was like, yeah, does it even work? Like, do we have to do it? And I was like, we have to do it until I give birth. We have to do it because the book says, the book was not right with anything.
No.
But anyway, yeah.
So funny.
Like, I did not like having sex when I was pregnant. You know, the way sometimes, and actually he said it loads of times to me, he's like, I don't want to hit the baby's head.
Yeah, no, I think, like, Alan would have been quite... He was very good. He read like all the parenting books and probably other bits.
Oh, David,
well,
nothing.
Like.
Nothing.
So, when we were at the Spice Girls concert, he turns around and goes to me, Mel B's book wasn't very good. I was like, when did you read Mel B's book? He reads autobiographies all the time, and he'll like finish, he reads them on the bus and stuff. So he reads like a person every 2 or 3 days.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's weird though, but he read all the parenting books,
yeah,
like silently, never told me anything about it. And then he'd turn around and say something like, well, sure, we can't hit the baby's head anyway, that's just rumour or whatever, false.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
see, I think,
so,
so when I first found out I was pregnant, I was like, whoa, come on, this is great. And then I was also like sick. So yeah, when I first initially found out I was pregnant, I was 5 weeks pregnant and going for gold for I'd say about a month. And then after that, oh, just from that on to, like, what is it, 40 weeks, I just couldn't. Oh, it just was not on my list of priorities. No, we did.
Yeah.
But I never got anything out of it.
Yeah.
Nothing out of it. I just wanted it to be over, and I felt like, you know...
You were concerned about Dave's blue balls as well, were you?
Yeah, because yeah. I just thought,
I don't
like
if... Yeah, I mean, you don't want someone to be uncomfortable either.
No,
like.
It's just not fair. It's just not fair, you know, you're... And also, we had great sex life before that, so it was very much kind of a case of...
Let's not let the baby change things.
Yeah, even though it did, like, for me anyway. So I just didn't like it. Of course, then I am the type of person, I overthink everything.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, there's a baby in me. Ooh, there's a baby in me. I just don't like this. This is not nice. There's a baby in me, and we're doing this, and I couldn't let go.
This is how the baby got here.
Yeah, but I couldn't let go. I couldn't just kind of be in the moment.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy it. So when I was finally in labour, I was actually thinking to myself, like, this is good now, because, and actually that week of trying to get it going, I remember thinking to myself, like, I'm actually quite looking forward to not being pregnant and actually enjoying this again, because this is a real chore now. It's not something that I'm enjoying. I would think that a lot of people who are trying to conceive would feel the same, that they kind of have a relief when they are finally pregnant, or if it doesn't work out and they, like, look at other options.
Even if it never happens, I wonder, do you have a certain negativity?
I would say so.
With sex,
I mean, it's never happened to me, and I have so much empathy for someone who has to go through that, because it's taken this really lovely thing that connects a couple and now
putting
turning
so
it into a chore and a pressure, an absolute pressure. But that's another conversation for another day. In fact, actually, I'd love to hear from someone who has had issues conceiving.
And it's happy enough to share them, because there's so many other people out
there.
There
are so many
way.
People, and no one really talks about that, you know. But anyway, gave birth, and we all know that was a fucking shit show. And so I was in bits. I was in bits.
So your vagina has been completely torn apart.
It was
completely
blown. It was
together.
Smashed apart with the battering ram of a head of my child.
Mm-hmm.
And the snipped away, you know, Edward Scissorhands was down there. And then restitched up, like, fucking, what are they called? A pork loin. So imagine that in a vagina shape.
I just imagine
not
I regularly
line.
Imagine your vagina, but, like, you know, like an American football where it's got, like, the stitches all the way across.
Oh yeah, yeah, like Frankenstein. Yeah. So I had a Franken vag.
Franken vagina.
I was incredibly sore, and we all know how my relationship went. So it wasn't on the cards. We were both exhausted, incredibly stressed out, not getting on well. I was in pain all the time. And I went to my doctor Christmas week to get a smear test the same day that my husband went for a job interview. It was shit because I was late coming home, because she couldn't really do the smear test because I was so tense. She couldn't get the speculum in me.
Yeah.
And then I cried the whole time. And I actually remember her saying, and I'm quite annoyed even to this day, she was like, you can't be that bad, Erica. And I was like, I'm telling you for a fact, I'm in agony. Like, and she was like, have you not had sex with your husband? I was like, no. And she said to me, she eventually got it done. And she was like, okay, look, I really think that you need to look at this. Because I kept saying to her, I was like, when am I going to go back to normal? And this was like a constant conversation I was having with my mom.
She having that conversation with you while you were legs akimbo?
Afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I remember saying to my mom loads of times, I was like, when am I going to stop wearing maternity pads and big, huge knickers? And when am I going to get back to normal? And I was like, I'd be very open with my mom. We have very frank conversations. And she kind of brought up in a joking way. She was like, Jesus, do you know, have you sorted him out yet, kind of thing, you know? And in the queue in TK Maxx, of all places, I was like, Mom, shut up with
the
buggy.
She must have seen, like, a bumper pack of condoms or something like
that. I can't remember what it was, but I remember she said something to me, and I was like, yeah, we're not getting on. And she was like, well, you know, that would help things now. And I was like, no way. So anyway, my doctor basically said to me, let's see how things go. We'll wait until you're 6 months postpartum, and if things aren't getting better, then we look at maybe physio. But she was like, basically physio is going to be dilating you with a dildo, basically. That's what they do. I didn't know that. And I was like, there's no fucking way I'm going to a hospital to chat about the weather while one lob something up me to try and get my vag back to normal. And I was like, not happening. So that was grand. Wasn't grand. I was crying, fucking manically crying. I don't know, this how many times I'd been to that doctor's surgery from the birth to then, just crying, sitting on the chair. And no one actually said to me, come here, you really need to like look at yourself, because
like,
things are not good with you at all. Anyway, she said to me, she was like, I would genuinely suggest trying to have sex with your husband. And this is what she said to me. I really do think you should have a couple of glasses of wine, if not the bottle, and then see how things go. So that was Christmas week. We all know what happened on the Christmas day. Had a fucking meltdown. We went to marriage.
Do you reckon part of it was the pressure?
I actually think as a couple, we get on so much better if our sex life is good.
Yeah.
Because we are a very passionate couple in that, like, we fight passionately.
Yeah.
We love passionately. And that really helped us to connect as a couple.
Yeah.
From the get-go, like, I liked him when I met him and we slept together and I was like, Jesus, he's a right fit for me. Do you know what I mean? Do you feel like that?
I think you just have to find, like I was saying, I have a very understanding partner who has bothered to learn about me.
Yeah.
And that means an awful lot to me, because you can kind of, you can ride anything you want to ride, or you get yourself a sex toy or whatever,
like,
it might be, but that's just a release. It's like a pressure valve release.
Yeah.
Whereas there's something else that actually goes with a relationship. You know, a proper two people.
No, it's like a connection.
Yeah,
it's just this connection, and we definitely have that when things are good. And so, like, we'd know stress relief.
Yeah.
Do you know, if you want to just like boil down to it, we'd know stress relief for anything. And I mean, like, we hated each other. So I definitely didn't offer to help him in any way. He definitely didn't give a shit what was going on with me, because we just hated each other at the time. It was horrible. But so anyway, she said to me, she was like, I really do think you need to do that. And I remember going home to him that day. I was late and he was late for his job interview. Oh my god, we just had murder. But like later on that weekend, I was like, look, the doctor said this to me. And he was like, do you want to? And I was saying, not yet, but we do have to do it eventually. So then it was another 2 months after that when we started marriage counselling, and we brought it up there, and she was like, maybe you should just try and just see what happens. Oh my god, Ellen. So we got the baby to sleep, and like, he was sleeping through the night and everything, so it was grand. And he was like, right, tonight's the night. And I was out buying nice gear, and then I was like, drink the wine. I drank a whole fucking bottle of wine. I hadn't really drank at all.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely smashed. So smashed that, like, you know when you're really drunk and your head is just floating above
unable,
you and your body is doing these massive circles around, I don't know. I was smashed. It was so painful. It was so unbelievably painful.
Smashed.
I was so smashed, and not exaggerating, there was, I'd say, a whole tube of lube used, and I cried the whole way through it.
And you just wanted it to be successful, because you were like, right, they're telling me if we get over this, then we can go for it. Yeah.
Yes, and I knew that if we were able to have sex, then the pain would might subside a bit for me. I was in fucking bits. I was roaring, crying, and he was like, I'm stopping. And I was like, don't stop, please don't stop, because we have to do it. Like, it just has to happen.
Yeah.
It was horrible. It was really horrible. And I don't want a pregnant woman to think that this is going to happen to her. And I genuinely think it was kind of like, but yeah, it was horrible and not enjoyable for me. Not enjoyable for him either, really, to be honest. What's kind of funny though,
yeah,
is
no
right?
man really likes when a woman is,
I was crying. Like, I was just crying.
There are some
and then
sadistic assholes after
but. Yeah, after it was over or whatever, I got up and he was like, are you alright? And I was like, no. And he was like, oh my god, like, I'm after hurting you. And I was like, look, I'm sore anyway, and this is supposed to help me, and I don't want to go down the physio route, so like, we're just gonna have to do it, and we're just gonna have to do it regularly. And yeah, I mean, we had another, say, we had another 4 months of very uncomfortable sex.
Wow, okay.
And then it got to around the June time, and it was like some kind of like light switch, probably because like the scar tissue had been,
it is actually like a release once everything just kind of loosens up, and once you figure out your new setup
but
down there, it's kind of like, oh, click, now we're going.
So like, imagine we had gone on our first family holiday that May, and I was kind of saying to him, like, we have to keep now, we have to do it once a week, at least once a week, so that it kind of
military riding exercise.
I actually remember, because we were in a hotel room, we had to go to the bathroom, and he was just not feeling it. He was like, I don't want to do this fucking shit. And I was like,
I feel so sorry for Dave.
I felt sorry
for
him,
for you,
but I felt really
pain,
sorry for him too, because it was like, I was kind of saying to him, this is rests on you now that you have to help me. And I'd say he was kind of like, oh my God, there's so much fucking pressure for so many different things. Basically, anyway, we did it on holidays, still uncomfortable, but not as bad. And yeah, just slowly but surely, it got better. And that's another thing why I'd be so kind of worried about having another child. Would I have another birth like that?
Mm.
Would I have a recovery like that? And would our sex life go to absolute fucking shit? Because we, since going to marriage counselling and, you know, being a bit more patient with one another, but also getting our sex life back on track, we're a much better couple together.
You're not, like, no one has the same birth though, that's the thing.
I know. But it is a genuine concern for me. Yeah.
No, you know, totally valid concern.
But
absolutely.
At the same token, I know that like the chances of the same thing happening twice is very low. But there's still a chance.
Murphy's Law fucking happening.
Exactly,
like, yeah.
Exactly. Do you know? So yeah, it was. Oh, I was mad. But now it's grand. Like, you know, it's not grand. It's great. It's back to.
Are you glad you did it that way, not in the toilet, but. As in that you didn't go to physio, or do you think that the physio would have been more or less kind?
So I put it to you this way, right? If I got pregnant in the morning and I was having another baby and like similar things had happened, the first thing I would do is I would know that my mental health was in a very fucking bad way.
Yeah.
I would also look at help with my relationship much earlier.
Yeah.
And I would have gotten the physio.
Yeah.
Straight away. I wouldn't have
waited. You kind of described it horrifically though, just like being in a hospital or in a clinic and someone.
But essentially that's what it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So they call it dilating. They have to dilate you. Another thing, right? So
I would rather dilate myself.
I genuinely think that the way they stitched me up made my vagina smaller than it probably was when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Okay, the only way I can describe it is, do you remember the first time you used a tampon?
Mm.
Was it uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So imagine that feeling.
But I have a tilted cervix, so it's always uncomfortable.
Okay, so
but
if
that
it's
feeling is, it just feels a bit scratchy.
Incredibly scratchy.
Yeah.
And stingy and sore and like, this isn't right. That's the feeling.
Yeah.
So can you imagine, right, the first time you put a tampon in, you were on your own, obviously.
Yeah.
But this time, you're going to have a person being like, so.
But that's what I'm thinking though. Surely there's a more empathetic approach to physio in that you would go to sex shoppa or wherever and get yourself a graduating size of vibrator and gradually open yourself
pleasure,
back
though.
Up again.
It's about.
Sure, no. But surely there's a better method than battering ram yourself back open
again.
Oh
God, I didn't do it, so I can't vouch for it. That's exactly what's
going to
happen.
Interesting. I
but
wonder.
That's basically how it was described to me, was that it would be you would be dilated gradually.
Yeah, but like, again, also there's different. So someone just like that you don't know, that you're not sexually attracted to or anything like that, dilating you is completely different than in an intimate setting with a partner that you trust completely. It's an
also
interesting.
Do you know what's really like Sod's Law? So I was fucking tiny, like unbelievably tight. And my husband is quite well endowed. So if he ever listens to this, he's going to be like, Jesus Christ,
yes.
Erica. But he is quite well endowed.
Mm.
So can you imagine, how will I describe this now? Can you imagine trying to shove a French baguette into an egg, the yolk of an egg?
Every time someone sees a French baguette now.
No, actually, a yolk of an egg is too big. Jesus, what would it be like? The diameter of a cherry tomato and a French baguette.
Every time someone sees a French baguette now, they're just going to think
dick. My husband doesn't have a crispy knob. It isn't delicious to eat with butter, but. And actually, we always get French baguettes when we go on a picnic. So if anyone fucking sees me with my husband or my child and we're eating a French baguette, they'd be like, you sick bitch. No.
Can we leave it there on crispy knob?
He's a lovely knob. I'm going to stop this now. I'm going to stop this before I go any further. Also, my God, because of the Instagram account, The Postman Hates Me, I am on AliExpress 24/7 now. I absolutely
looking
fucking.
For crispy knobs.
No! No, listen to this. I was at work yesterday and I don't know how we started talking about it. How in God's name do we start talking about it? Oh, we were talking about vibrators, and I was like, did you know that?
In work, like casually.
Yeah, don't ask. It was on the lunch break. It's not like we were doing it on company time or anything. basically, we were talking about sex toys in general, and I had heard that the sex shop, but actually, someone bought some kind of vibrator or something on one of those Chinese sites anyway. But apparently they're not like tested the way European. No, nothing happened. Okay, nothing happened.
You're gonna say they like vibrated and like exploded in someone's vag or something.
That could happen if it's not tested properly. But basically they bought it, and then sex shop got on to them or whatever. I don't know how they were talking about it, but they were saying that they're not regulated the way theirs are, because they buy them with whatever European or whatever standard. And that some of the latex or whatever they use on them could be toxic, so they gave them like different non-toxic ones to use and stuff like that. And so I was saying that to one of the girls at work, and then I was like, yeah, I was like, randomly I was looking up, what was it, I think I was looking for Crocs or something for Callum. No, I was looking for like cute little sneakers and stuff, because they're dirt cheap. And I was looking for them, and like underneath there was like things you might like. And one thing was like a, an illustration of a condom over a penis, and then two like silicone balls on top. Like snooker balls, right? Two snooker balls, and then a penis inside. And apparently it's some kind of extender to use when you're not very
well endowed. The telephone is always listening.
Yeah. But like,
listen, there's something out there for a sex shop. It has taught me nothing else. It's taught me that there is something out there for everyone.
We deep dived into the AliExpress stuff, and Jesus Christ, the stuff. Will I tell you the worst one that I saw?
Go on.
Right, so it was like some kind of like, I think it was some kind of BDSM thing. Random now again, right next to condoms. Imagine a biro.
Okay.
And imagine the biro is surrounded by, and the biro is like a metal.
Okay.
Just metal. So a metal like stick. And around it then there's like all these circles of metal.
Okay.
So the biro is inside, and then there's like a spiral of metal around it. And a man would put it on him and in him. You know, in the eye, in the hole.
Oh.
And
like
then
a catheter, like,
kind of, right? But listen to this, right? So I was like fucking horrified.
Different people enjoy different things.
Yeah, they do, right?
But like, also,
yes, I decided, I don't know why, to look
bought
at
it for days.
I did it, my fuck. Jesus Christ. Although, no, oh God, no. I'd never want him to
does
experience pain like that.
Does the spiral spin while it's in the
no,
vag?
It, just,
or?
It goes, no, not in the vag. In the penis. Oh, down no. into a man. Like okay. The way they do an STI check.
I'm with you.
And someone had bought it, and the flag on it was from the UK.
Okay.
And they had said, it's not real stainless steel. It does rust, but it does the job.
Oh my God.
So first of all, right, wouldn't you think to yourself, I'm buying this, might keep it under wraps, okay? But then...
No, because people can have whatever sexual...
They can, but would you really go on and say that it goes rusty and it's not stainless steel, but it does the job? So that fella
is helpful feedback to someone else, in fairness.
It is, but I found it was just so funny. I actually thought my voice is a bit hoarse today because I laughed so much when you were looking at it. But there's so many.
Imagine your sex story going rusty. Mom.
Rusty.
Bomb.
Rusty. Anyway, on that note.
That sounds, yeah.
This
sounds...
podcast has to go like late at night.
Late at night.
And I have to
with
put
a health
kind
warning,
of, like,
I think. Yeah.
Health and parent. Well, not that children are going to be listening to this anyway, but don't listen to it.
But equally, anonymously or with your name, you can share with us your first time stories. We don't really care about those first time fumbles that happened when you were like, whatever, under 20s.
Can I ask you though, when you actually lost your virginity, was it good?
No. God, no.
Mine
was
great.
Good? Really?
Absolutely great.
Really?
Great. Absolutely fucking great.
Where's that lad now?
Not too far from me. He's got three kids and he's married, and I'm also married with one child. I would never, ever, 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 ever.
I have never heard anyone ever say that it was good before.
Yeah, and I think that's why I find it so important. But then again, I had a really good connection with him. Like, he was like my first love.
Aww.
Yeah. My husband, he said, was shit. And he won't tell me who with either. Because I think he thinks I'd be
most
like.
Most people, it's like, no.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that mad?
Mm.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't know. Yeah. Tell us, yeah, your first time after kids experience, or is there something that changed for the better or for the worse, or is there something that you've tried that...
And if we've got any men who are listening and want to share their side of things, because that must be difficult. Like, I'd imagine it was quite difficult for your husband, and yeah. I know mine was very tentative about not wanting to hurt me.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, there was a bit of pain involved. There definitely was, but...
Or how many were weirded out when they were pregnant, that there was a child inside them, like
the
I was.
The baby's head. Bang, yeah. Bang, bang.
I was there. All right, like, you're not a fucking stallion.
Yeah. You're not a French baguette.
You're not a foot long subway. Anyway,
thanks for joining us.
That
we
was an interesting one.
We will talk to you all again soon.
Bye.
Bye.